going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Second. And perhaps final appearance for the day by our own Sal Capaccio, who joins us now from a different location. He's out at the stadium, joins us on the Wester hotline. Sal, I think you told us yesterday, or at least recently, that tonight is the busiest night of the year in that media room. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's already pretty filled up because here's why. You have all of the TV stations, local TV stations, who go live at 6, and what if they do another show at 7 or whatever, but and then later on at 11, and then again when the Bills pick. So everybody gets down here a little bit early, the TV equipment set up. And then, of course, you have the beat writers and reporters who fill up like normal. Sometimes you'll get a national person here, not today. I don't see anybody here tonight. Nationally, if the Bills are picking higher, that could definitely happen and has in the past. It's already filling up, and so much to the point where I think I told you guys earlier, I'm not sure. I actually asked Andy Young. No, I said this on my show earlier. Andy Young, who works for Spectrum News One, he actually kind of sits next to me. We don't have assigned seats, but everybody kind of gets the same seat a lot, right? And he usually sits right next to me. I'm between him and Josh Reed. And I asked Andy earlier today, I said, when are you going down? He said, I'll be there around 2-3 o'clock. I said, please save my seat. Because I have been down here before where it fills up so quickly that you can't even get a seat. And then you're scrambling all night, basically.
All right. Well, we're that close to this thing. Is anything new?
Yes.
Is anything new since 3 o'clock? There's a one thing that might be is there's a Todd McShay comment.
I tweeted a little bit ago that he's hearing about a couple of different trade ideas, and I already forgot what the first one was, but the second one is more pertinent to us because we've talked about a team like the Giants moving up late in the first round to get a quarterback, and he says they're actively trying to make that happen. I would imagine that means like kind of laying the groundwork. I don't think it was something that would happen before you get to when that team is on the clock that you're targeting if you're the Giants, but that they like Dart, Jackson Dart.
Yeah, and I can see that. Did you guys see the thing with Joe Shane's kid? What happened?
Yes.
Did you read about that?
Yeah, he went on social media with a video of Dart and then deleted it. Or made his account private.
Mm-hmm.
This was yesterday.
And almost like...
Is this the kid that...
Yeah, like
is
he
this
was,
the kid when the, from Hard Knocks when Shane yep. asked him, who would you pick? And he said, Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
On Hard Knocks?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And, yep. And he,
tough
that's exactly
one.
What Mike said is right. That's what he did. And there's a theory that he was preparing to, you know, have that ready to go. And he put it out there publicly unintentionally.
Oh, no.
So obviously, you know, the Giants could very well be looking to do that. So I say, if that is the case, and I didn't hear you, Mike, did you say that if they have a target of where they would go? Because I do think the Bills at 30 could be a spot for a team mm-hmm. like that. I've believed that the Bills at 30 could be a spot for a team like the Giants or the Browns if they want to climb back in the first round and get a quarterback.
How old is the son, by the way? Is he an adult?
No, he was like a teenager.
He is teenager. And wait, hold on. He is now in high school, I believe.
Okay.
In fact, to be honest with you, I think his son plays football at Don Bosco Prep down there, which is a really good football program.
Okay. They couldn't have picked Daniels anyway, I guess, but.
No, right. But
it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me try this on. We've talked about everything. The trade down idea that you just got into there. Trading up, that's been some speculation today, too. The Steelers, maybe. Minnesota would maybe make sense if the Bills were so inclined. Who are the players, in your opinion, Sal? Maybe we can just sort of all work this out. Who are the players where, in terms of trading down at 30, the Bills would say no? Would they be like, no, there's somebody here we like? I mean, there are some maybe obvious ones that are guys who would likely go much earlier. How many guys can we name that we think they would turn down such a trade offer?
If they were sitting at 30, how many guys would they name they would turn down?
Could we name? Yeah, that they were
could
available.
We name?
Right, right.
Okay, let's say, I would say realistic, right? I mean, you're not talking about guys who are going to go in
right.
the top 10 that we're pretty
right.
sure they're going to go in the top 10, right?
Right.
So I would think Kenneth Grant might be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
I would think Derek Harmon might be on that list. I would think that Will Johnson might be on that list. One of the corners, the top corners, I would say, right? Like Barron, Will Johnson. I think probably you're probably looking at three corners on that list. You're probably looking at two or three defensive tackles there.
Grant and your guy from Ohio State or no?
No, I don't know. I think they could very well like trade. If Tyleek Williams is there, I think you could still maybe think you could get him, you know, 20 picks later. Who
okay.
knows?
And
based on, you know, I don't think they want him, like, I don't think they, like, covet him. He's a name, though, that I think would very well fit for them.
Mm-hmm. And these trades that we're talking about with the Browns or the Giants, where those teams move up for a quarterback, are only three or four picks away. So your bet mm-hmm. would be...
Yes.
I think Grant makes sense if he falls to 30, yep. because you might think he doesn't fall to 34.
Right.
That's what you're trying to figure
yeah,
out here.
Yeah, because I feel like he is, for me, Sal, I feel like he's the last guy that, and I don't know, maybe it's a sloppy way of putting it, but like that might be able to ascend to being more than just the space eater guy, right? And that to me is worth a 30th pick overall, even if he's just in a rotation with Daquan Jones for the time being, because it's someone who I think at 21 with the big body he has might be able to like ascend to being more than just that, right? Like we were talking earlier, if all I want is a big guy to tie up blockers, I don't think I want to spend 30 on that. But if there's more upside there, if he's someone that can penetrate and be, you know, somewhat of a hellraiser in the backfield eventually,
mm-hmm.
and I think Grant, he reads like that to me, then that's a guy that I'd have a hard time seeing them pass on. In fact, we were talking about trade up ideas. Minnesota's only got four picks there at 24. That's not cost prohibitive. If Grant even gets to there, I could see them making a move. If they, you know, if he checks all the boxes for them, Bill's DNA and all that stuff. Like, because I feel mm-hmm. like after him, there's not another dude that is as well rounded as he could be potentially.
Yeah, so I think I would have reason to believe they like Kenneth Grant. I mean, but again, how? What's the realistic chance he's where you're going to be picking? And then the question comes, could you even move up to get a guy like that if you like
right.
him that much? Would you go to 20? Would you go to 25? Those are jumps, right? I mean, once you get to 25, it's a little more doable. Five spots, team drops down. They might be willing to do that. I think that is very plausible. That is a player, I think, that's been linked to them by a lot of people. When I get asked, and obviously I'm sure you guys do, but I get asked by a lot of people around the country because they're doing their own mocks, right? People, national people, and local media. They'll call me, they'll text me. Hey, I'm trying to do my mock. What are you hearing? What do you think? We'll walk through it. And then I get, this is one thing I've gotten a lot of. Well, I've heard the Bills are linked to Kenneth Grant. Like, I've heard that a lot from those people, right? I'm not telling you I've heard it. I'm saying that people have told me they've heard it, and I don't know if that's just them reading things or if they're doing their work on it and getting that information somehow. So that's how I kind of sort through all of this and figure that out. Now, that being said, I still think that there's a spot here we haven't talked a lot about that's possible, and that's edge, right? If there's a guy
mm-hmm,
there
mm-hmm.
that fits the edge and it's a player that they like, I don't think that they would shy away from it. I mean, they still need to get to the passer, and I think they want to do that. So I think that's got to be something in play. And then I think I brought up the name of you guys earlier, too. Maybe not tonight. Maybe it's second round. But I think Darius Alexander fits the Bills, too, from Toledo. He's a guy that really is athletic. He can move around a little bit. He's over 300 pounds, not much over, a little bit more undersized. But I do think he can play both the one and the three, mostly the three. But he can do that as well.
Sal Capaccio with us. 6:15. Draft gets going round one at 8 tonight with Tennessee. Almost definitely picking Cam Ward, the Miami quarterback. What are your latest thoughts on the trade-up option then? We've talked about the trade-down idea. 21. Well, is Grant also somebody they would move up for? And I guess in terms of cornerback, you know, they'd have to probably see a tier break between some of these guys to want to move up, but they've done it before.
That's the way I look at it. To me, I don't know if you would covet one of these DTs enough to go up like that, but I could see it with a corner because of what you just said, Mike, which is maybe there's a tier break, right? Which is, okay, if we don't get one of these three guys, we'll get a guy we like, but it's not to that level. So let's make sure we go up and get him, right? That was Dalton Kincaid. That's what they did. Like, they just said, hey, there is a drop-off here. Now, granted, LaPorta was drafted after. I totally get it. But in their mind, like, they needed to go up and get him and what they wanted. So I think that's what you're looking at there. I think corner would be more likely. If we're sitting here and it's 25-26, and all of a sudden the Bills pop up on the screen and they've traded up, my mind is going to go more to corner than DT. I'm not saying they couldn't do it for a defensive tackle. My mind's going to go to corner or edge. I think those are more... those are more of the types of positions you do that for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear you. And it really depends to me, like I already said about Grant. Like, if I'm right or all the analysis that I've read and seen on him is right, like if they view him as comparable to a lot of other guys and don't think he can take that step, then yeah, I wouldn't want to make the move. And I would agree. I think because corner, like we've said all along, and this is very reminiscent of 22, is still the spot, right, where you're looking at and going, okay, I know they just signed Trey White and they signed Dane Jackson, but like, really, who's my starter opposite Christian Benford? I think you, in an ideal scenario, you're hoping it's neither one of the guys I just mentioned, nothing against either guy, but I think you want to get better than that there. And at D tackle, at least you still have Daquan Jones. Like, you're going to need to backfill there. But they've mostly, I've heard Sneaky Joe make this point a lot. I think he made it last Thursday, maybe around this time. The way they've treated the defensive tackle position beyond Daquan Jones is journeyman fill-ins, basically, right? That's Jordan Phillips and Austin Johnson and Quentin Jefferson, guys like that, that are just sort of filling in. And so maybe them drafting a guy to play that role high would be quite a departure for them. So if their previous history tells you anything, maybe that's not a trade-up position that they'd be interested in, and maybe just let that whoever that guy's going to be come to them on Friday or Saturday.
I like that thought process. I agree with that, you know, because I'm the one that says, look how they've done. 8 years, you have a body of work here with these guys. 7 drafts between Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. That's what the Malachi Starks thing before, the safety. It's
you know how they
operate, right? Wide receiver. We know kind of how they think about a lot of these things, and I agree with that. Defensive tackle is important. It's not a premium NFL position by most accounts, right? Unless you get a superstar stud, you can do that. But corner is, and edge rusher is. You know, something that stuck with me the other day when Brandon Bean was talking, he was asked about Dane Jackson, and he said something like, and I think he said, I think Dane's looking forward to the opportunity for competing for that starting job. And I thought to myself, okay, well, if Brandon Bean's talking like that, who's he competing with? He's going to compete with Tre'Davious White most likely right now. Is he going to compete with a rookie? Probably. I get it. But that kind of led me to, I don't think that we're talking about drafting their immediate starter on Thursday night. Now, I could definitely be reading way too much in the weeds to that, but that's what it got me to when he said that.
All right. Some action at the top, maybe. We might have talked about this earlier, but Jacksonville seems like it's kind of fooling around.
Yeah, the other piece of the McShay report that had the Giants interested in Dart and looking to move into the back end of first round was that the Bears are very active trying to move up, he thinks, for Genty. Or what he's hearing is for Genty.
Well, That makes sense to me because, I mean, look who the Bears head coach is now, right? I mean, Ben Johnson. You think about what he did in Detroit and what he might want to replicate a little bit in Chicago, and he already has Caleb Williams, and he already has a couple of receivers there. They do need a tight end, obviously, but I think Genty makes a lot of sense to the Chicago Bears. But that's why I also have them drafting Omarion Hampton with the 10th pick. It might be a little high for him. I get it, but I think they're looking for a guy like that. They really are. But it would make sense if they're trying to get up pretty higher to get Genty because he could definitely be a difference maker. Jacksonville's the pivot spot. There's no doubt about that. I think whatever they do kind of makes a lot of things, you know, fall into place for a lot of other teams. So those are a couple teams that I'll be watching. When you say action at the top, yeah, I think that that's probably the first piece of action. I think this, to me, the first four look like they're pretty already set. That is going to be Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and I think now we're to the point of Will Johnson, right?
Will Campbell.
Will Campbell, sorry. I'm getting him confused with the other tackle, but Will Campbell to the Patriots. I think it's always been that way, but I think even more so over the last 12 hours or so, you hear about reports of them really doing, you know, a lot of work on him and meeting with him and things like that.
Yeah, the odds have been decidedly that way as we get close to the start of the draft. The Bears have that Carolina second that could price them in on a trade like that from 10 to 5. Credit,
that's right.
Credit to Jacksonville for stirring it up. I mean, you never know, but more and more mock drafts, we're putting the Raiders on offensive line and not on Genty. So you would get a fall to 10. I do think there's a lot of, you know, excitement about him, but Jacksonville maybe did a job here. If that trade happens, kind of the whole thing about getting people to think you're going to do something that would be a problem for them. So maybe a good job there.
We know how this started, too, was they had always been linked to Mason Graham. And then really what happened was Adam Schefter had a story last week on his notes, and in his notes he said, in the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. I'm hearing Mason Graham is probably not going to be the pick, and they're going to go offense. And then all of a sudden, all this other stuff started with them, and it looks like that's the case. It's not going to be Mason Graham, which, by the way, where does Mason Graham go now? I got him eighth because of this. Like I'm taking the bait, guys. Right, I'm taking the bait here on Jacksonville, and I'm thinking where. Last night I sat there doing my mock, and Jacksonville was tough. Carolina was really tough for me. I could go linebacker there. I can go edge, and I wound up giving them Mason Graham. I believe is what I did if I look back, but I think that's a really interesting guy here now.
For sure, is this right? They say about him like a lot of things to like, but not a great enough athlete to be like undeniable as a top 10 pick. Do I have that right for Mason Graham? Somehow could that make sense?
I've heard some of that.
Could that make sense? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's like technically perfect. I don't know.
The other thing you hear about him is, and this goes both ways now, how much did Mason Graham make Kenneth Grant? How much did Kenneth Grant make Mason Graham? I think you have to really sort through that.
Somebody will. Somebody will.
I'll get right on it.
We will do that. Sal, what's your workload tonight? Are you on the air all the time or just when the pick or what?
I'll have my mic next to me we do things. Technology is amazing. I always tell people I do a radio show. I do my radio show from my phone these days, right? Because we have this technology that you guys know that you can do that with. So if something were to happen, I can literally jump right on with the guys back at the station and we can do that. Otherwise, I'll just have it sitting there. And if my phone goes off and somebody texts me and says, can you jump on with us for a little while? Then I'll do that. Otherwise, so I get here, you know what? So I was the TV guy today, and that happens sometimes down here. I got here, and there's two big TVs, one in each corner of the media room for the media to see on to the left and right of where the podium is, basically. And I'm like, all right, these were not on. So we scrambled. I found that there was a bunch of remotes. A couple didn't work. I finally found the right remotes. I put on one TV on ESPN, turned down the sound. I put the other one on TBS for the hockey game. So I'll be watching those things while we're also paying attention to what's going on, you know, around us.
That's right. 6:30 for Florida and Tampa on TBS. That's right. I gotta get there because we're All right.
11:30. These 11:30 picks, not great for the local TV scene. Like that's just right at the worst time where you don't know exactly what to do. The news is ending, and that's kind of what's happened, right? When the Bills have picked the last few years toward the end, it looks like it's usually after 11 o'clock.
It's a scramble drill. It's a scramble drill. Like, you guys know how, like, when you go to training camp and the Bills, they go, all right, we're going to go through, like, end of game situation. Everybody's got to run on the field for a final field goal. That's what happens when the Bills pick here. Like, as soon as the Bills pick, it is like everybody starts running to their spots to do their TV hits and radio hits, and it's insanity down here.
Look forward to it.
Well, enjoy it, Sal.
Yep. Thanks, Sal.
All right, guys. All right. You got it.
They will feed you well, I'm sure of that, so you don't have to worry about that. That's Sal Capaccio for a second time today on our Wester Hotline live from the stadium as we get you ready for round one of the draft. Sal's appearance brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I see Milrow to go in round one, plus 270. Not terrible.
No.
Davis Maddock has talked himself into Milrow. He's the first guy.
Way to go, Davis.
He's the first guy I referenced probably when the bet was made as somebody that, like, he said something like Anthony Richardson, but way worse.
Yeah, right, right.
And now he's down. And he wrote recently how, like you've said it, the player has what you can't teach.
Right.
You want to be able to teach. You can teach what he needs.
If people out there have not read up or heard Davis or me talking about him, he is being compared favorably as a runner to Lamar Jackson. Like, you know what Lamar Jackson looks like on an NFL field, right? Are there still people out there going, "Oh, he's just going to get hurt"? I mean, that's electric. That is a jolt of energy to your entire team. Yes, he is going to need work as a passer. There is no argument, but he has the tools. Like, he's got the size, he's got athleticism. It's mechanical mostly, I think. I don't even think I hear that much complaining about his decision making. It's just accuracy. But the arm is massive. He can make every throw. He just doesn't make them all consistently because he's kind of whack on his mechanics. Man, I would want to trust that I can work on that stuff and give me an elite. I don't think any other quarterback in this draft class has an elite trait. Like, Ward is the most fully formed, you know, package, but I don't think there's anything elite in there. Maybe he's an elite processor and I'm leaving that out. I don't know. But it's all good. It's good enough to go number one overall. But Milrow has that. And I know running should not be the best thing your quarterback does, but man, it's a hell of a place to start, I think, if he has the potential to figure out the passing.
We will look for your calls again after the break, 803-0550. Round one of the NFL draft coming up in about an hour and a half. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.